send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Kingdom Conference 2020 is set for what most people understand as the month called September 17th through the 20th. Now, before the way I phrase that hurts anyone's feelings, I want you to understand that's not my intention. It's not meant to be condescending, but it's simply meant as a gentle nudge on the side as a way to remind followers of Christ that even in the smallest of things, we've not been faithful. Friends, the months of a year, the days of a week in the civilization that we have nuzzled ourselves down into, those months, those days are all named after the pagan gods. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods. Neither let it be out of thy mouth. Their first month, Jan, you just fill in the blank, is named after Janus, the god of beginnings and transitions in Roman mythology. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Their third month was named after Mars, the Roman god of war, and an ancestor of the Roman people through his sons Romulus and Remus. And God spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But be free to call the names of other gods, write them down, record them for posterity, name your events after them. I am Yahweh thy God, but only when it's convenient or when it's not embarrassing for you. Their fourth month. Since some of the Roman months were named in honor of divinities, and as April was sacred to the goddess Venus and her veneralia being held on the first day, it has been suggested that Aprilis was originally her month, Aphrilis, from her equivalent Greek goddess name Aphrodite, Aphros, or from the Etruscan name Apru. Jacob Grimm suggests the name of a hypothetical god or hero, Apr or Apris. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them, but cleave unto Yahweh your God, as ye have done unto this day. For Yahweh hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for Yahweh your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love Yahweh your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that Yahweh your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which Yahweh your God hath given you. Neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them. Listen to me now. The sacrificial system that Yahweh instituted through the obedience of Moses is gone, done away with forever. But though the acts of much of those laws is gone, there are eternal principles that remain. Please don't try to tell me that Jesus, Yeshua, did away with these principles concerning other gods, even the mentioning of their names. And even though it was so clearly a big, big deal to his father, Jesus, Yeshua, died on the cross to make it perfectly fine for those of us on this side of the cross to live 100% diametrically opposed to the principles found in the writings of Moses, where God revealed his mind and his will to his creation. The day the world calls Tues. The name Tuesday derives from the Old English Tweesdag and literally means Twee's Day. Twee is the Old English form of the Proto-Germanic god Tiwaz or Tyr in Old Norse. Tiwaz derives from the Proto-Indian Indo-European base day, daya, didya, meaning to shine, whence comes also such words as deity. The day the world calls Wens. The name is derived from Old English Wodensdag and Middle English Wednesday, Day of Woden, reflecting the pre-Christian religion practiced by the Anglo-Saxons, a variation of the Norse god Odin. Turn not aside, therefore, to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them, but cleave unto Yahweh your God, as you have done unto this day. Brothers and sisters, what in the world are we doing? Turn with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I'm not just talking about saying their months or their days. I mean, if that's not bad enough. We'll begin in verse 1. And Yahweh sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. I mean, this sheep was a pet. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and out of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as Yahweh liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. American quote-unquote missionaries have been sent all over this world to make churchians out of the pagans, and all the while Yahweh is standing over America saying, thou art the man. We're acting like pagans, God's people, those of us, and the finger's pointing right straight at me as well, so don't think I'm getting some pass here. But those of us who claim to be followers of Christ, even in the smallest things, we're acting like pagans. I'm talking about having a conference where God's people come together to see how we need to walk in the coming evil days. And I have to use the name of pagan gods in order for most people to know when the convocation of Yahweh is to take place. Just so sad. It's not much better to say the ninth month. I mean, it still isn't Yahweh's calendar. But I want you to hear me this morning. I'm not saying these things to beat us down. I mean, Lord knows most of us have been beaten down and beaten down, all the while looking into the heavens, pleading with Yahweh for help. This past week, a dear brother wrote to me and said that his light had come on. And on the one hand, I mean, the email was great. It's very encouraging. I love to hear it. But after talking more, what I believe should be encouragement, I actually perceived as despair. I mean, the understanding of fulfilled Bible prophecy, fantastic. I love it. It's right. It's the truth. It's the foundation of understanding. It's the key of knowledge. It's fundamental to being able to rightly divide the word of truth. Understanding the implications of fulfilled Bible prophecy. I mean, that's even better. The kingdom of God came in complete fulfillment in the first century, and it's the responsibility of every living, breathing creature to conform to Yahweh's kingdom, his laws exclusively, to come out of the systems of the world and into citizenship in the commonwealth of Israel. That's better still. This is joy. This is salvation. When a man comes to this understanding, the light comes on, the shackles fall off, and this is a great day. However, with this knowledge, I mean, comes the reality that our daily walk, the way we live, the breaths we take, the words we speak, the jobs we do, the numbers we've allowed people to put on us, the documents we've allowed people to put on us, oh my, all of a sudden, every single thing we thought we knew was true has been revealed as a lie. And in our desperation to be right with Yahweh, all that great joy, all that great revealed knowledge has now turned into despair. And friends, that's the trap of that's a trap of preterism, actually. But that's a trap of adopting another religion. I mean, we've got to stand against this and not let those things rob us of our joy in Christ. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not giving any of us a pass for the way we live or have lived. Listen to me. Being a citizen of the U.S., Canada, Russia, Australia, Germany, and I mean voting, tax-paying, flag-waving, card-carrying, birth certificate-bearing, driver's license-carrying, social security recipient, you fill in the blank. Being those things is enmity with the God of the Bible. That's not Charlie speaking. That's what the Word says. The Lord Jesus told the people all the way back in the first century, when you participate in systems like the modern-day Social Security system, you make God's word of no effect in your lives. Now tell me, apart from God's word, if God's word has no effect in your life because of your actions, how can you possibly be in Christ? It is the word that makes us clean. It's the word that brings us to the knowledge of salvation. If that word is rendered to have no effect, what does that mean for us? Yeah, friends, we're in a mess. And it isn't God's fault. We've got no one else to blame but ourselves. It's our fault. It is we who have been given the Word of God, possibly more than any other people since the first century. And we've listened to every single strange voice out there who has made us comfortable with our chosen lifestyles, traditions, trespasses, and iniquities. It's our fault. Let's repent. Let's pray. And then let's get up off our knees and determine to be the people that Yahweh describes that he wants in his book. Yeah, friends, we've really messed up. We've missed the mark badly. And not only that, we've talked ourselves into believing that this mess we've created for ourselves is actually the will of God. We've listened to strange voices. I mean, this past week, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, you know, the greatest preacher in the 1900s and part of the 2000s. I mean, this guy preached to 9,000 billion people, and 8,000 billion of them gave their lives to Jesus because he was such a powerful man of God. But his son, Franklin, put out an emotional plea that now is the time for preachers to obey the, quote, government, and do so because the Bible says so. God's word says that people are to obey those that are in authority. And if any of you preachers are out there telling people not to obey men's governments, you are violating the word of God. Now, unless you were Hitler and you were gassing, I don't know, 900 billion Jews, well, then of course you aren't supposed to obey Hitler. I mean, but the double-mindedness is just staggering. When I was a teenager, and I've told you before, I mean, I listened to every single word of those churchmen. I mean, I was right on the front row every single time the doors were open, and I heard those men say one after another who they thought the, quote, Antichrist was going to be, or actually was at the time. I remember Henry Kissinger. I can't remember why they said about him, and it certainly had nothing to do with his religion, I mean, which absolutely makes him Antichrist. But I remember Ronald Wilson Reagan. And those brilliant-minded churchmen claimed Reagan was the, quote, Antichrist, because Ronald had six letters, Wilson had six letters, and Reagan had six letters. Well, he died, and then the next one came, and the next one came, and the next one went, and the one after that went. Now, here we are in 2020. There is not going to be a rapture. There is not going to be the fulfillment of the book of Revelation regarding the, quote, Antichrist, as in the Hollywood movie, or the Left Behind series, or Jack the Quack Van Impe. And here you have Donald Trump stating for all the world to see, quote, I have all authority. He says he's going to, quote, adjourn their Congress. And he has all authority. He has claimed supreme, quote, authority over his governors of his states. And instead of the false prophets declaring him the next Antichrist of the book of Revelation, the churchmen are laying hands on him, declaring him to be the man of God for this hour. It's amazing, just absolutely amazing. Circulating through the media right now are two catchphrases. And my guess is that most of you already have picked up on it. If not, you will now that I remind you. The first catchphrase is, quote, the new norm. That phrase is everywhere. And I'm telling you, I don't like the sound of it. And I'm sure just like me, you've been picking up on their proposals for the new norm. Well, the norm is already devoid of anything that even resembles Christianity, the God of the Bible, or Yahweh's Son. The normal lifestyle is complete with the full acceptance of following and worshiping gods other than Yahweh. That has been the norm and the trend for well over 200 years now. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh that healeth thee. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Ye therefore shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Yahweh. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. In the scriptures, more than 100 times Yahweh said, keep my statutes. He told Solomon in 1 Kings 9, beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of Yahweh, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that Yahweh appeared to Solomon the second time, as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. And Yahweh said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed thy house, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and shall say, why hath Yahweh done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook Yahweh their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath Yahweh brought upon them all this evil. But Charlie, we aren't worshiping other gods. I mean, just because we're keeping their statutes doesn't mean we're worshiping them. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land, and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against Yahweh their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and feared other gods. Now listen, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. And walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against Yahweh their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Now listen now, I'm telling us the truth. And again, I'm not talking at you. I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm hearing the voice of Yahweh too. This is for me too. Walking in the statutes of the heathen is the same as worshiping and serving other gods. It's the same thing. Of course we aren't falling on our faces and worshiping gods made out of elephant tusks. Obeying the statutes of men is the worship of other gods. And we're fooling no one by trying to claim otherwise. Billy and Franklin may have fooled thousands and thousands, millions maybe, but they didn't fool the God of the Bible. We are all where we are today because we've allowed men like Billy and Franklin to be the voice of God instead of what they really are, the voice of God's little g, ministers of Satan dressed in wool's clothing. Verse 10, and they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. This is symbolic language describing their courthouses and their legislatures. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom Yahweh carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke Yahweh to anger. For they served idols, whereof Yahweh had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Yet Yahweh testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, in which I sent you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in Yahweh their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom Yahweh had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of Yahweh their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Yahweh, to provoke him to anger. Therefore Yahweh was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of Yahweh their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. The quote laws for the people that live in a place they call Missouri are called, quote, the Revised Statutes of Missouri. And there isn't a man out of a million that sees the rebellion that this is. God's creation does not need to add to his laws. With the clear exception of the laws pertaining to sacrifices, they were good enough for Moses, they were good enough for David, they were good enough for Solomon, and they were good enough for Yeshua the Christ. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. One day, the scriptures say that the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We've been forsaking the commands of Yahweh in favor of the traditions of men way too long, friends. We've been adding to the laws of God to the point where the revisions have revised Yahweh right out of the law book. The second catchphrase that I'm hearing now, and I'm sure many of you are too, is 18 months. I believe they've got some pretty incredibly evil things that they're planning to be implemented within the next 18 months. Well, to me, I believe that God may be telling his people, the time is short. Heed the warnings. 18 months. I'm sure the churchmen will be ramping up the false doctrine of rapture deliverance, but I'm telling you, it's not happening. A new friend of mine was so discouraged when he realized that the promise of rapture was false, especially in times now, I mean, of what's staring at us in the face. I've been thinking this week about many of those believers who have gone on before us, some of them facing the most cruel tortures and deaths, but men who stood right in the face of evil and would not bow, and they lost their lives for it. Why didn't they get raptured? I'm just amazed at how a generation such as ours, who does not live according to the clear teachings of the scripture, but has adopted every single thing that the quote government has told them to put in their lives, things labeled in scripture as abominable, but with the slightest bit of danger looming on the horizon, we're supposed to get raptured away. While those who have gone before us, living lives way closer to the teachings of Christ, didn't get raptured. The rapture doctrine is heresy It's a damnable lie that's the foundation upon which our current miseries lie. That we think we should be delivered. Man, that's odd. One day the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, looked at Peter and said, I will build my ecclesia, my kingdom, my government, and I will build it with people like you, Peter. Those men that will look into the face of evil and say, we ought to obey God rather than men. And this after it was said to them, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach men to live according to the authority of Jesus? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. How dare you preach that men are to refuse to obey the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. It was with men like this that Christ said, I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do we believe this or not? If we do the things that Christ said today and allow ourselves, yield ourselves as instruments for him to build ecclesia, his government on this earth now, will this same God deliver his people from the mouths of lions? Listen, laying down as sheep for the slaughter is fulfilled Bible prophecy. That is not what our calling is today. I've read emails from people that have sent me that they've received from, quote, church people saying that whatever's coming, well, we should just lay down and accept it. We need to just give up our lives like Jesus did. No, that's what Jesus did. And he did it so we wouldn't have to. Our job on this earth is not to lay down and die as quickly as we can. Our job is to dominionize on behalf of our King. It's to bring down strongholds. It's taking thoughts captive. By our obedience, he will then fight battles and bring the world into submission. Our job is to live in the kingdom and build the kingdom. It's not to submit to evil and be killed by it. I've said for many years that if someone wants to identify with the crucified, hanging on a cross Savior, then I'm not going to say anything. If that's what you feel you should do, then by all means obey. But I choose to identify with the all-conquering, reigning King who was revealed in flaming fire to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, demanding that all men everywhere bow the knee and claim that he is King to the glory of God. I want to identify with the King who brought down kingdoms. I want to identify with the King and his men who through faith subdued kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, and quenched the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. This is another passage of scripture that I believe the church and the churchmen have just brutalized and have used it, pleasing their man's governments, their man's government masters to neutralize people who would otherwise stand against wicked agendas, such as the one facing us today. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of devils. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All right, let me ask you something today. Is our battle with flesh and blood people? I want you to think about it for a second. Is our battle with flesh and blood people? Well, friends, you better believe it is. This passage is not telling us otherwise. The battle is against flesh and blood people. This week I went to the steel store, and steel, S-T-E-E-L, metal. And I got there, and when I got there, I mean, there were signs everywhere telling you to stay in your car, phone in your order. Well, in my normal submissive manner, I got out of my car and went up to the front door of the steel store. And there was a sign on the door telling me that I couldn't come in because of the coronavirus. The sign said to either place your order by phone or you could walk over to the window and someone would open the window to help you. So I went to the window. When the young man opened the window, the first thing I said to him was, aren't you guys Christians here? See, they've got a Jesus fish on their website, so I knew they were Christians. Well, the guy said, yes, we are. So I said, well, then why are you living in such fear? Followers of Christ are not to live in fear. And he said, well, we're just following the governor's orders. Well, I said, well, when the governor or anyone else tells you to do something that violates the laws of God, or even common sense for that matter, Christians are to obey God. The governor is demanding that people violate the law of God, and we've got to follow Christ instead of men. And he said, but people are dying. I mean, the elderly. I stopped him and I said, that is absolutely not true. People are not dying. You've got more of a chance of getting killed by a semi truck over there on the interstate than you have from dying from some make-believe virus. Well, whether this guy wanted it or not, I mean, I engaged him in a wrestling match. And you better believe it was between two flesh and blood people. But because he didn't agree with me, I didn't punch him in the mouth. I mean, it's a battle, but it's a battle right now for control of the mind. Their minds are sick. Their minds are depraved. Their minds are rebellious. And we have to be engaging these people in battles to bring their minds into subjection to the kingdom of God. But I'm not going to walk over there and pick up a piece of his steel and beat him with it until he says he agrees with me. You better believe that our battle is with flesh and blood people, and we need to be engaging them in battles for the truth. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Who runs the principalities? Who runs the municipalities? It's people. These people have powers. They're called guns. They're not authority, it's power. It's the barrel of a gun, and it's real. The rulers of the darkness of this world are real people. They're not green-eyed monsters. What do some of the alien hunters call them? Shapeshifters. I mean, they send out videos telling you to watch their eyes turn black or something like that. These are flesh and blood people who choose evil, the spirit of Satan's. They have gained power over people because the ones who could stand in their way are waiting for some phony rapture that will never happen, or they've listened to some strange, wild, weird voice telling them that God says obey the wicked. It's incredible. It is flesh and blood people who have allowed the wickedness in high places and rulers of the darkness of the world, because the wickedness and darkness, for the most part, has no resistance. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The, quote, norm has been the evil day. And now the new norm is going to be evil on steroids. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now I want you to listen to me today. Standing by ourselves, if that's all there is, then so be it. But standing by ourselves is not the plan of God. Even in the book of Acts, it was rare to see the apostles standing alone. There was usually at least two of them together. I mean, that's the Bible way. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The plan of God in the new covenant world, the plan of God from the foundation of the world for our times, is the kingdom of God. It is the called out Christian communities of believers living in the same general area for the purpose of administering the laws of God among themselves and demonstrating to the world that this is what God wants for his creation. I believe we may have an 18-month window to get ourselves in a local ecclesia setting with other believers. For as long as you've been listening to me preach, I've said, God is going to have his ecclesia. We can do it the easier way And I say easier because it's not easy. Or we can do it the hard way. We're going to be in community. How many of you listening today have already decided you're not taking their mandatory vaccine? How many of you have already said you aren't going to continue their, quote, social distancing, laughable experiments that they're doing just to mock their slaves? I got angry again this week when I heard that Trump was convening the, quote, greatest minds in the country to have a meeting about reopening the U.S. Really? I don't know a single one of those guys. And as far as I know, they're a bunch of godless reprobates. I mean, I know the, quote, preachers that he invited are, but the businessmen? Really? Are these guys followers of Christ and advocates of God's laws? I don't think so. And now these guys are going to try to define a, quote, new norm for me? I know that many of you are pretty angry about this too. So what are we going to do? I mean, the earliest that we could get to the campgrounds back for our conference is in the fall on the pagan dates I told you about. Now, I'd be more than willing to meet with anyone who wants to meet sooner. I believe their 18-month target began on what they call April 1. Of course it did, on their Fool's Day. But Lord willing, and I absolutely believe it is, I'm going to start working on the document I told you about last week. Michael suggested that we call it the Moses Project or a writ of divorcement. I believe it's past time that we who call ourselves Israelites begin to act like it. And I believe the world needs to know. The world needs to be put on notice. Yahweh said, "Let my people go." This is not a request. When you look at the story of Moses and the saga of Egypt, it looks like Yahweh was giving Pharaoh a chance. But we know the end of it. It was not a request. It was a demand. Let my people go. This is not a message of doom. The story of Moses and the word of God is one of great deliverance and the mighty work of Yahweh shown to men. The story of Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael is not a story of doom and gloom. It's of great victory and deliverance. The story of Daniel ends with Nebuchadnezzar declaring that Yahweh, the God in heaven, is the only God. The written story of Messiah is not a message of doom and gloom. It ends with the revealing of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, triumphing over death, hell, and the grave. Do we serve the same God these men did, or don't we? This is a time for all of us. Is he the same God that would deliver us and save his people, or is he not? Well, he is. He is. And he's just waiting for his people to obey his voice. See and hear the shepherd standing at the door of the sheepfold and follow him out of the sheepfold. In the history of the United States of America, I do not know of an ecclesia that was on the land. The ones that I know of were in the 1600s. But since then, we've tried to create our own religions. We've tried to build something and say that we're following Christ, but it's really been something called churchianity that ultimately resembles nothing taught from the scripture. The message of the King and his kingdom offers the only hope for any of us. Until we're able to get ourselves in community with other believers, if you're in debt, you got to get out of debt. Take the steps necessary to get that shackle thrown off. Don't let yourself get overwhelmed by how far away we truly are from living according to the scriptures. I'm not saying that we excuse ourselves or that we overlook our sins and iniquities, but keep our eyes on the goal. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Seek freedom. Constantly renew your mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even when we're not in ecclesia, we're still supposed to be living according to the laws of our God in our own lives. We're still not to be joined together with unbelievers. The United States of America? Are you kidding me? We sit here and laugh and mock the Pelosi's of the world and the Cuomo's of the world and the Homo's of the world. But as a citizen of the United States of America, those that claim to be members of the body of Christ have joined themselves with, they've joined those members with infidels. We've taken that which is holy and joined it to the dogs, to the whoremongers and those that make and love to make lies. We're witnessing right now, right before our eyes, one of the biggest con jobs ever seen. This is bigger than most of the con jobs I've seen. I mean, it covers nearly the whole entire earth. I received an email from a friend of mine who I thought was in Ecuador. And I had seen an article about a city in Ecuador where the dead were just laying in the streets. And I wanted to know if he had firsthand knowledge of this. Well, his email said that he wasn't in Ecuador, but was in, quote, lockdown in Bulgaria. I mean, I've heard people say, how can they get the whole world involved in this? Well, first of all, the whole world isn't involved in it. I actually find humor in the fact that North Korea isn't reporting, quote, statistics to the World Health Organization. But it's not difficult to see how they could get almost all the world's countries involved in this. I mean, when you realize that most, if not all, those countries are tied to the International Monetary Fund, I mean, it's easy to see how cooperation would work. I mean, I thought it was amazing how quickly all the counties in Missouri, I mean, their health departments are all putting out these directives and such. That's not hard to see. I mean, first of all, the heads of all these agencies are all probably deeply committed patriots to the cause and are going to do whatever their governor wants them to do. So when their governor says do this or say that, of course, that's what they're going to do. I'm sure most of us have seen the video that circulated not long ago where all these different local news outlets were reporting the same stupid story just all over the country. And the joke of it was how the story was the same, but each reporter put their own little mark on it. Yeah, it was funny, but it revealed just how stupid these people are. And sadly, how much stupider the people are that fall for it. I build and maintain websites, and this past week, one of the people that I build for called me and asked me if I would help his, quote, church stream their service on their website. I mean, I like this guy. I've known him for a long time. And I just said, come on, man, please don't believe these lies. This stuff is not true. There's an agenda far greater than a sickness that isn't much more, or maybe even is, just the common cold, the flu. I didn't get into the whole teaching of church with this guy, but I said, when the Lord Jesus commanded his people to assemble, it wasn't meant for video conferencing. And I'm not opposed to using technology. I mean, there may be people who can't attend our conference. And if we can get them video, well, great. But when Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my authority, I'm absolutely positively certain that he meant physically together. But yet this guy just listened to me like, you got to be kidding. I just can't believe that you don't believe that this virus is killing people. So some of you may have heard me mention the name Mike Moon before. And I've known Mike since my earliest days of, quote, Bible college. Mike is one of the kindest, gentlest men I've ever known. But Mike is a representative in the Missouri House. Blows my mind, but he is. I mean, Mike is kind and meek. I mean, but some of you may know him because he made national news a couple years ago when he made a YouTube video where he butchered a chicken live on YouTube. I mean, he was trying to draw attention to the fact that people were going to get angry about him butchering a chicken like that for all the world to see, but the slaughter of unborn babies causes no such uproar. I mean, Mike came to visit me in the jail. And then, I mean, within just a couple of days, the cop who brought all of this on me went to Mike's house and threatened to arrest him because the cop claimed that Mike's cows were on the road. Well, anyway, Mike sent me a video this week and he asked me to watch it at least up to the 42-minute mark, he said. And Teresa and I did. I mean, we watched it. The video was made by a preacher who also said that he was a retired doctor. But the video was fantastic. I mean, it was excellent, at least up until the 42-minute mark. But prior to that, the guy was going through the statistics of this supposed coronavirus. I mean, the quote odds of someone getting it, if you can get it at all, I mean, is ridiculous. Yet, a great percentage of the world's population right now has fallen for this lie, and it's amazing. But the guy's message on the video went beyond just the quote virus. I mean, it was actually moving and was a call to action. I mean, I appreciated it. I mean, however, at about the 42-minute mark, the guy managed to completely destroy everything that he accomplished in the first 42 minutes. He began to talk about how all this was the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So again, if what you're seeing is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, then sit back and try to enjoy the ride as best you can. There's nothing you can do about it, nothing you should do about it. After all, to resist the fulfillment of Bible prophecy is to resist God Himself. Well, friends, it's coming. And I believe Noah's Ark is the ecclesia. And we need to get busy building the ark. Noah had 120 years. I believe God's telling us that we've got about 18 months. I'm not saying these things like the false prophets who've claimed the return of Christ. You know that I'm not doing that. I'm just saying watch for it. I mean, that's their own catchphrase. That's a supposed target date now for when they claim their vaccine is going to be ready. But we know that's a lie. Vaccines don't work. They never have. It's propaganda. 18 months is how long they think they need to fully roll out their new, quote, new norm. And I believe, quote, health is the cover for some type of economic reset, which may also revamp their draconian criminal, quote, justice system also. He's been calling and calling and calling. The good shepherd has been at the door calling his sheep out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. Yes, I've heard all my life that you don't poke the big bear in the eye. Let the sleeping giant sleep. I've heard all that stuff. But I don't believe the giant is asleep. I believe the big bear is getting ready to reveal its fangs. Now, our little 22s or 9mm or even AR-15s, if you have one. And for the record, I do not. I wish I did, but I do not. But those weapons are not going to help us. We need the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to fight on our behalf. We need that which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And that is the ecclesia. And the ecclesia is made up of people. People just like Peter, James, and John. People like Daniel. People like Jeremiah. People who are not afraid to say, you decide for yourselves. But as for us, we ought to obey God rather than men.
When hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the life. You are the fight within my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world. This life, we will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror. I will sing into the night. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is he living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat. We are free and we're redeemed. We will declare over despair, you are the hope. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world. This life, we will not bow to sin or to shame.
We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark with you. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror.
Yeah.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.